What's going on, gals and ghouls, freaks and geeks? It is I, Richard Zahm, back again with Corpses for Conversation, a music, movie, media, gaming, geek culture podcast. Of course, I'm in the room with none other than
Toxic J
and
Evil Ed.
Now, you guys, for the fans know, we usually have a dais put together of whole schematic list of the episodes we're planning to go over, but that got put on hold because we all suffered a nerd blow. We had crazy news happen with the unfortunate passing of the icon who put Batman on the map. None other than the legendary voice actor, he who is the only man who can step in and voice the iconic Dark Knight, good old Kevin Conroy.
If you were a kid back in the 90s and early 2000s, then chances are you were probably watching the animated series about the Batman. Behind every great animated hero is a great voice actor. And for me, that actor is Kevin Conroy.
How was that?
That was good, Kevin. Keep going.
Okay.
I'm still in shock, man. I'm still in shock. Because this happened yesterday.
The 11th.
Okay, the 11th. Like, I don't even know what I was doing. But I happened to look on my phone, and a buddy of mine had posted it, and I was like, whoa. Are you serious? And she's like, yeah. So I looked it up. I'm like, holy fuck. And like, literally, I'm a 40-year-old man, but I was sitting there looking at my phone, just like weeping. And I started to cry. It hit me hard, man. Then it just flashbacks to, like, you know, since I was 9, I just couldn't believe it. What about you guys?
So I myself, being a 90s kid, bald out as well, like Toxic J, you know, it's nothing to be shameful of or embarrassed of. You know, he was very important in the geek community. You know, if you grew up throughout the 90s, that's Batman. You know, whether you were introduced to him in the 90s animated series, the original one, and then went on to Batman Beyond as Old Man Bruce, Justice League Unlimited, the Arkham series, he's Batman. So to see him pass away at how old he was, like, he was 66. I was really young, and to know there's so much in the tank for him to play Batman even more, it's a horrible loss, man. It really is.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize, like Ed said, we have icons and we have actors and we have these well-known people over our time span that we become enthralled with. We have our fandom behind them. They're icons. You know, you have Schwarzenegger, you have all these people that are really well known into industry. And Kevin initially wasn't as an actor. He garnered that fame by being graced the opportunity to voice Batman. And he knew how big of a deal this was. And he made sure he put everything into it, and he did. I mean, there's been people who can mimic the voice and they get close, but they can't encapsulate what he did for the voice of Batman. And the most popular one, of course, is Batman the Animated Series. We all fell in love with that character arc, the voice he did. A majority of the Batman Arkham Asylum video games, he voiced a majority of all that. And they were just incredible childhood memories that we will all carry with us forever. There's other voice actors too. You know, the beautiful message conveyed from Mark Hamill, who played the Joker on the Batman animated series, that was such a touching and beloved send-off to his friend Kevin Conroy. You had Tara Strong, and she went on to say, you know, he's going to be belovedly missed, and it was a sad loss for all of us. Even me, I don't know a lot of voice actors. I know Kevin Michael Richardson because I'm a fan of his iteration of the Joker from the Batman animated series that came years later down the line. But when I saw this stuff pop up on my feed, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, I'm like you guys, it hit home hard for me because this guy is an institution. Like Ed said, he is a Stan Lee to us. Like, he embodied something that will... We don't get very many of those types of people. Same thing with James Earl Jones being Darth Vader and other people like that. I get really choked up, though, because you guys saw the picture I put up on social media. I was very fortunate to meet him, and I was very surprised he didn't have a big line. And I was in my Bane costume, and I went up to him, And in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, this is Kevin Conroy. This is the voice of Batman. This is Batman. And I was like, hey, Mr. Nice to meet you. And without even skipping a beat, I'm in regular voice. I'm not even trying to be voice acting with one of the kings on the top pillar, this gentleman here. And he looks at me and I can tell how he's just switched it on. He goes, Bane, huh? He goes, when did they let you out?
Oh, and, shit.
Yeah. And I immediately was like, oh, we're doing this. Sweet. So in my head, I was like, going, come on, Mr. Wayne. You know no prison can hold me. It was only a matter of time till I tracked you down. And me and him started exchanging for like 2 minutes. I mean, he went from Batman and then he's like, wow, dude, that's a really cool costume you have. And I was like, oh my God, I just exchanged dialogue with Kevin Conroy as Batman and I'm Bane. And I didn't have a good cell phone at the time because I would have loved to record it.
Here, I could die here. I could die now.
It was one of those things that it's like, you don't get very many moments like that. And that meant a lot to me because in that nerddom that we all have enjoyment for, I take those characters very serious, kind of like how you do, TJ, with Predator and stuff like that, and your cosplays you do. But to have that man realize and not just be a typical actor who is busy, let me sign your autograph and move you forward, he gave me those couple minutes to emotionally connect with me from a fan to someone who knows, hey, this is someone who appreciates my body of work. Like, I still get choked up from that because that meant so much to me. That meant, like you guys said, the world to me. It was the same thing when I met George Romero. I cried because I'm like, dude, that's, you're the whole reason why I named myself Zombie. You're Papa Romero, dude. So that it's been rough. Just like you gentlemen have been going through it. It's been rough because that was a beautiful moment I'll come in and carry the rest of my life. And I really wish I had the audio, but the fact that I have the memory that I get to keep, that's a beautiful thing for me.
Now, I know a lot of the younger generation maybe heard of it, maybe not the Batman the Animated Series. They probably maybe thinks like, you know, okay, just another Batman series. But to the older generation, and yes, I'm putting this in that category as the older generation, it was something to look forward to after school. You know, I remember, and this is when this came out, I believe, right before Batman Returns, if I'm not mistaken. They base their version of the Penguin off of Danny DeVito's version in the movie. I remember that. That's why they didn't release that episode like right away. So I was all into the Batman hype and I was super into it. I was hooked the first episode, you know, like, yes, that's probably an old cliche, but it was. I had that to fall back on. I was, for those that don't know, cartoons used to air new episodes almost every day. That's not including Saturday morning cartoons. Batman, the animated series was every day after school. It was a big part of my life growing up, especially coming from a broken home. I didn't really have too many good things to look forward to. It was an escape. His voice, like Ed said earlier, from reading any Batman comic book from 9 years old to the day I die, I will always have that Kevin Conroy voice.
You play it back in your mind when you're reading material.
Yes, exactly. And it's him. I hear. I don't hear anybody else. I don't hear Christian Bale. I don't hear Ben Affleck. I don't even hear Adam West. I hear Kevin Conroy. And be honestly, out of every Batman, and it's not being disrespectful to any of the Batmans before him or after him, he was the first actor to give Bruce Wayne a voice.
Yeah. And if you guys also think about it too, right? Like TJ just said, we've had Michael Keaton as Batman. We've had Val Kilmer as Batman. We have George Clooney and Adam West and all these different actors embody Batman. Kevin Conroy, even though he has never physically donned the whole cape and cowl in a live action series, he is the longest reigning person to hold the title of playing Batman in existence. Multiple decades he's played Batman. That's a gift from the comic gods, man.
And at the same time, going to his range, he has played a young Bruce Wayne in flashbacks in episodes of the animated series. He's played old man Bruce. He's played even Bruce Wayne in his regular Batman, all different because he understood the character.
correct, he played old Bruce Wayne from the Batman Beyond series, right?
Batman Beyond series, exactly.
And it was a slight touch.
And I recently seen him do, he was on a podcast recently. He was with Will Friedle. For those who don't know who Will Friedle is, he voiced Terry McGinnis in Batman Beyond, like, aka the Tomorrow Knight, Batman Beyond himself. And he talked about it. Again, like Zom said, it, and Kevin Conroy agreed, it was just a slight touch. It's like, we haven't seen a or heard an old man Bruce. Like, what does that sound like? Just got to just play with my voice just a little bit and just tone it down. But at the same time, this is an angry character. This character has a lot of anger. So I still need to add a little growling to it. And, you know, that anger still needs to be there. And I was like, man, the thoughts, even though he was a voice actor, he actually does have a lot of live action credit, mainly as a voice actor. He can bring so much emotion just with a microphone. Not a lot of people can do that. Fact that he did it so well in different ranges of Bruce Wayne's life, man.
Yeah, he's one of the few people in the industry that understood what the seriousness of being a character of that high caliber is. And he portrayed it the correct way. He gave it its coup de grace. He put the source material behind it. He did his research. Like you said, Ed, he pitched his voice multiple different times to get it figured. And then even when the Batman animated series came out, like TJ said, we all fell in love with it. It was like one of the freshest cartoons you saw out there. They were pushing the boundaries of what you can put out as content-wise during that time, because it wasn't just a regular campy version of a Batman cartoon. It was dark. It was edgy. It took on real world subject matter. It really skewed the mind, and it was beloved for it, because it just, between the writing, the art direction under the helm of Bruce Timm, and everyone involved doing the voice casting, or the voice cast, I should say. I mean, it can't be replicated. We were given, like I said, we had Batman Beyond. We were given the new Batman animated series, which I was grateful it did really well as itself. But there's not going to be very many people like that anymore. Another one that I know when it's his time to go, and I know I'm going to cry my eyes out too, because he's a very unique voice that can't be replicated very easy. We talked about him in a previous episode when we were talking about Predators. When Peter Cullen goes, the one who did the voice for Predator and the voice for Optimus Prime, it's going to touch us all because we're a bunch of nerds, but it's going to be another one that's going to hurt. Same thing with James Earl Jones when he eventually passes away. That's Darth Vader. And how gracious of it was for him to sign over the rights to his voice so they can use it to keep Darth Vader going. And what a lot of people don't realize, kind of like Sam Jackson and other actors have, they've done a whole bunch of recordings for like these navigational services. Even Morgan Freeman's done voice recordings for navigational services. For someone to sign over their rights for you to use their vocals to keep a character going, whether it's digitally done, that means at some point in time during his career span, James Earl Jones sat down and recorded hours upon hours upon hours of different dialogues, phrases, sayings, and just of the voice, so they can have a plethora of audio files to pull from his voice. So, I mean, that's just a beautiful thing in itself. I'm sure there's going to be archives and stuff that's going to be reused under Kevin Conroy. But man, it really hurts, because there's not going to be someone who can replicate him. They're going to get close, but they're never going to be able to redo what Kevin Conroy did, not only as a voice actor, but in his real live action body of work. How gracious he was with the fans. A lot of fans don't even know. It came to light after his death, but I even saw pictures of it. I knew at one point, but I didn't know the severity of what he was doing. But when the 9/11 attacks happened, he was down there helping out as a short order cook, cooking to make sure that the paramedics, the EMTs and firefighters and the police officers and people just in the area were able to be fed.
Wait, who? Kevin Conroy?
Yeah. And somebody recognized him in the kitchen when he was cooking. And they're like, dude, you're the voice of Batman. Come on, do the voice, man. So he's back there cooking. He stops. He goes,
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am Batman.
I am vengeance. I am the night. I am Batman. He said the whole restaurant popped. Oh, shit, it's Kevin. Oh, it's fucking Batman. Yeah, man. To be able to, you're donating your time for a good cause. But to be able to bring some of that hope, some of that dignity, some of that world pride back while we're living through a serious trauma in our history, to be able to give people those small little moments, that's pretty much what Kevin Conroy was.
For people that are listening, we do sound down. That's no denying that. We're not arguing. We're not debating. Our egos are put to the side because this is a big part of our childhood. So we're just actually paying tribute to the man that is Kevin Conroy. His voice will forever be in the minds of the 90s, you know, and for me having two kids, I want them to experience what I did at their age. I showed my oldest Batman, the animated series, and for a while she was super into it. So she likes it, and hopefully I can show my younger daughter the same thing. It doesn't matter if that person is no longer with us physically, body and soul, and if you keep them in your thoughts, they're going to live forever. Doesn't matter who it is. And Kevin Conroy is, and when I'm 90 or when my time to go, he's still going to be my Batman.
Legend.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's for sure. And I'm glad you touched upon that, TJ. Myself and Ed, not yet, don't have kids or anything like that. But for what you said, that touch is true. So any of our fans or anybody listening, make sure you do that, what TJ is saying. Show your kids the source material. Bring them up on these type of things that they are going to miss out. Like, make sure you show them these things that it's, you may think it's nothing, but it's of importance. Just like it is going to school to get an education. This stuff has importance to it. Knowing the lineage and the heritage of where certain things come from is very important to teach your kids. And Kevin Conroy is one of them. James Earl Jones is one of them. Peter Cullen is one of them. Certain comic books, certain cartoons, movies.
Shout out to Richard Mall too. Not a lot of people know that he was also on the Batman, the animated series, as Clayface and Two-Face.
Yes. Very, very good voice actor as well. One episode I got to point out, and a lot of people put it up there, the Grey Ghost episode.
Oh, that's a great one.
For those fans who don't know, if you have someone who's even older than us, and you're a Batman fan, and you're trying to learn more about Batman, and you don't know who Adam West is, who not only was the voice for the mayor of Quahog, he was also the OG campy style version of Batman, who put Batman on the map, was a huge icon and actor in his day. Adam West voiced the Grey Ghost in the episode for the Batman animated series while Kevin Conroy was doing the voice of Batman. You had a pioneer along the person carrying the mantle together in one episode. Probably one of my favorite episodes of that series for that reason.
I was actually going to ask you, gentlemen, like, starting with Batman the animated series, do you have, well, now we know for Zom, but Ed, do you have more than one episode that stick out that it's your favorite?
So there's a few. In the OG animated series, there's an episode called Almost Got Him. I don't know if you guys ever seen that one. It's
with the fish.
Yep. Yeah. No. You had Killer Croc, Poison Ivy, Two-Face, Joker. I forget who else. They were just sitting at a table playing poker, and they were all just talking about how they almost got Batman. It was just, it's a hilarious episode because, like Zom said earlier, you know, the Batman anime series was taken very serious. It's an Emmy award-winning show, very dark tones, very serious tones based on reality. But there are certain episodes that have very, like, humor. That episode was one of them. There's just a funny line from Killer Croc that just goes, "Yeah, I threw a rock at him.
There I was, holed up in this quarry. When Batman came nosing around, he was getting closer, closer.
And?
I threw a rock at him."
So, Harvey, what became of the giant penny?
It was a big rock.
And everyone just laughs at him.
Like a boss.
That's it? No. Like, everyone had like a scheme of, oh, they almost got Batman. Killer Croc just, yeah, I threw a rock at him.
What do you mean that's it? It was a really big rock.
Yeah, that one's hilarious. And there's another one called, oh man, I think The Legend of the Dark Knight. And it was a bunch of kids that were talking about Batman, but they all had a different version of him. It was funny. One of the kids' name was Joel. And behind him, he was standing in front of a shoemaker store. If anyone can get it, Joel Schumacher, shoemaker. Uh-huh. And obviously it was a nod to Joel Schumacher, who directed Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. And the other kids were making fun of him because they didn't like his interpretation of Batman. Like, Batman's not like that. But in this episode, they had different animation styles within this. I think this episode was during the new Adventures of Batman. Kevin Conroy changed his voice for every story, for every iteration. And it was just dope. Because one of the iterations was for the Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns. So he deepened his voice because, obviously, if you know that illustration of Batman, he's much more bulkier, he's much more heavier. Great, great dialogue from him in that one. And then I have another one from Justice League Unlimited. In Justice League Unlimited, there's an episode called Epilogue, which was actually a series finale for Batman Beyond, because Batman Beyond didn't get a series finale. It just got canceled. So they were able to do it in Justice League Unlimited. This time, Bruce is way older, because Terry McGinnis is a grown man. He's a veteran as Batman now. He's no longer a teenager. Kevin knew, I'm playing a different, older Bruce Wayne, so I got to change my voice again. It was beautiful. My most favorite one, though, I forget the title, in Justice League Unlimited, there's an episode where they go to the future and Cameron Conroy's younger Batman meets old man Bruce Wayne, and they're just talking to each other. They're sharing dialogue. And to hear Kevin Conroy, just you hear the slight different pitches, and he's going back and forth. And then at the same time, they tell Terry McGinnis to shut up simultaneously, and it's just insane.
Surprised to see me? A little. I'm more surprised that I lived so long.
Batman, Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne, Batman. Or have you met?
Not now.
Great.
Because I was watching an interview of him, and he was talking about how he was reading the dialogue line for line. He didn't, all right, let me do young Bruce Wayne's first, and then old man Bruce. No, he was just going back and forth with himself.
I asked that, like, did he do it separately or
no,
just like...
No, he was talking about, like, he said he had them in different colors, the lines. So it's okay, this is veteran Bruce of the JLEU timeline, and this is older Bruce of the Batman Beyond timeline. So he was just sharing dialogue with himself and just ranging that pitch back and forth. And it was just like, man, that's also a great episode, and it just shows the talent of Mr. Conroy.
I have a few that stick out in general to the Batman animated series. One, like Zom said, was the Gray Ghost, the origin of Two-Face. That was good too. And I really like, I don't know if you guys remember, it's called I Got Batman in My Basement, where the Penguin, these little junior detectives end up taking an egg from the Penguin, but Batman was fighting the Penguin. He got knocked out with gas. So they drove the Batmobile into their house, and then they kept him in the basement. So it's these little kids trying to fend off the Penguin while trying to wake up Batman. It was just like a side story, didn't really involve Batman, but I like the fact that they kind of changed it up. So it was like the junior detectives. I really like that episode. That one, for some reason, sticks out in my head, along with, it's episode 9. It's called Be a Clown. It's where the mayor's son was kind of miserable and ran away with Jekko, the clown, quote unquote, but it was actually the Joker. So they go into this whole funhouse battle. And I don't know if you guys remember, it's like the final battle of that episode is where they were on the roller coaster and he was throwing baby bombs at him. Those episodes really stick out. I mean, there's endless of episodes. Those are the ones I really enjoy.
Each one of them are iconic.
Okay, let me ask you guys something then. Is there any one episode or movie or anything that Conroy has done that made you literally just like cry?
Four different ones I'm going to point out here. Batman Return of the Joker, or Batman Beyond Return of the Joker. The whole scene where you see emotions come out of Batman and Batgirl trying to emotionally be there for Tim Drake's character as he's kind of losing his mind because the Joker put himself in his mental area, his brain path, and you hear it, but because of his acting ability, he doesn't allow Batman to fully break. But kind of like when you heard me talk about Kevin earlier and you hear my voice breaking up because I'm about to cry, you hear Kevin do that in the portrayal of Batman because he had sincerity for the well-being, and he was worrying about Tim Drake's character in this cartoon.
I'll begin with how I peeled back the layers of the boy's mind. Though he bravely tried to fight it at first. You would have been proud to see him so strong. But all too soon, the serums and the shocks took their toll, and the dear lad began to share such secrets with me. Secrets that are mine alone to know, Bruce.
Tim.
Do it! That's not funny.
It's okay, Tim. It's okay.
That was incredible work he did for that. The Batman Sub-Zero standalone movie where you see him go toe-to-toe with Mr. Freeze, that was amazing. That was a great movie they did. Mask of the Phantasm, I mean, we cannot forget that one. That one's still considered one of the best standalone animated movies that went through the Batman animated series story arc. And the other episode, I think I'm correct. I think it was Kevin Conroy who did the voice for it. I don't know if it was a Batman animated or it might have been a Justice League one. You guys can point it out. But they made a lot of YouTube references to it. They did a lot of meme references to it. But it's when, I can't remember the episode, but I think he had just defeated the Royal Flush family or the Royal Flush gang.
Justice
and
League.
He goes to console the little girl who's on the swing.
I just saw...
Man. That I cried my freaking eyes out at that, because that's a side of Batman you don't see that much. Yeah, and the way Kevin portrayed it was,
take her down before she takes everyone with her.
I'll do it. I'm the only one of us Ace knows. She might let me get close enough to use it.
Do you understand what you're agreeing to? The only way to stop Ace for certain is to kill her.
Batman.
Ace.
Did you like playing with my new Royal Flush gang?
Can't say that I did.
Yeah, they aren't any fun at all. I gave them their powers and they still hardly ever play with me.
Can't imagine why.
When I was little, Cadmus used to make me play all kinds of games, but they weren't any fun either. They'd strap me into their machines and poke wires into my brain. Ace, can you move this object with your mind? Yeah, I can move it. They weren't really games, you know. They were training me, turning me into a weapon for justice, they said. They got their weapon. I got cheated out of my childhood.
I know what that's like.
You do, don't you? You don't have to answer. I read your mind. That's how I knew you weren't going to use Mrs. Waller's weapon on me.
No, I wasn't.
You were going to try and talk me into fixing what I've changed. Before I die.
Yes.
I'm dying very soon.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Could you stay with me? I'm scared.
There's an episode in Justice League Unlimited, and it was the sincerity in Kevin's voice. In this episode, again, I forget what season one episode, the title. It's been a while since I've really sat down and watched Justice League Unlimited. There's an episode where the Justice League go to a different Earth, but without their timeline Batman, and they meet in Earth 2 Batman. And by the end of this episode, they were able to finally go back to their time, but Batman in this timeline, in this Earth, since he was like so enamored, like, wait, you guys have like a time machine, you're in a different portal and all this stuff. The only thing he can think of was, you know, maybe I can go back in time and save my parents. And Martian Manhunter goes up to Batman and is like, you know, if you do that, the man you are now, you won't become. And Batman just says, nothing will make me happier. I'm like, the way he just said it, just being Batman is a curse to him. And that choked me up a little bit, because if you read so many Batman comics, you know the tragedy behind Bruce Wayne. You know that that's just a 10-year-old child who saw his parents die in front of him. I don't know. That's the most trauma thing a child can see. You know, you can't forget that. And Kevin Conroy understood that mentality. This is a guy that's not right in the head. And there's another episode, too, to actually jump off of that. In Batman Beyond, there's an episode where, oh, I forgot who it was, who the villain was in this episode. They were messing with Bruce Wayne's head. And Bruce got locked up in an insane asylum because he kept talking to himself. But by the end of the episode, Terry McGinnis asks Bruce, hey, Bruce, how'd you know that wasn't your subconscious talking to you? And Bruce just simply replies by saying, because that voice kept calling me Bruce. And Terry was like, then what do you call yourself? And Bruce just gave him a look like,
tell me something. Why were you so sure those voices weren't coming from you?
Well, first, I know I'm not psychotic.
I hope your other reason's more convincing.
And second, the voice kept calling me Bruce. In my mind, that's not what I call myself.
What do you call yourself? Oh, yeah. I suppose you would. But that's my name now.
Tell that to my subconscious.
And it's like, it hits. It was like, yo, even in subconsciously, Bruce calls himself Batman. And that's just the mentality behind that writing and how Cameron delivers all those lines in those different time points and different variations of Batman. Oh, yeah, man. It's you crazy.
Know, I never
gangster.
I remember that episode too. Back then when I was a kid, I didn't get that. But, you know, years later when I watched it, I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Clever writing. That's why I really appreciate the original, you know, with Bruce Timm and Paul Dini, what they did in the back in the days. It was a lot of clever writing, a lot of mature writing. You know, it just wasn't for kids, especially with Kevin Conroy's Batman pretty much being what I know most people would now would say he was the Iron Man to the MCU. He started that animated universe, because obviously we got, you know, the Superman animated series. We got Batman Beyond, we got Static Shock, and then he went to Justice League Unlimited. You know, he did all that. Going back to what Tom asked, you know, or actually, I can't remember who even asked.
I asked.
Toxic J, to the emotional extent. Even outside of the episodes, there's certain interviews where you can still see the joy of him playing this character. There's times where you have actors who just, they get tired of being asked for, you know, having an iconic role and just like, I don't want to talk about it no more. I don't want to talk about Batman. He's always excited to be Batman, always excited to talk about Batman. He was doing, and this was the first time he was playing a live action Bruce Wayne. First off, the episode sucked. They could have done so much better with Kevin Conroy, but this was his first time. But if you watch the behind the scenes stuff, just seeing him all giddy and excited, but it's like, I'm now Bruce Wayne in live action. I'm playing Bruce Wayne. And he even said like how he wished he got to wear like an actual suit, but he wore like an exosuit that was very similar to the Kingdom Come comics. And it was just seeing that excitement in him. It's like, man, even at this age, he gets excited. Or even when he started the first Arkham Asylum game, you know, he, again, You hear the excitement of how like, oh yeah, so this Batman's different from the animated series because now I can play a darker, more grittier, mature Batman. And it's like, dude, the fact that he still gets excited.
Who else didn't enjoy the fact that when he recorded the dialogue, like Ed said, for the video games, and he got to record additional dialogue, like who wouldn't want to get their ass kicked to the voice of Kevin Conroy where he's like wrenching a guy's arm going, unless you tell me the information I want to know, I'm going to break every bone in your arm. It's like, oh my God, dude, I nerded out for every little extra little dialogue clip like that. That was like the fucking best, the best.
Where is he?
I got nothing to say to you, Batman.
Talk, or I'll crush every bone in your body.
Okay, okay. She's working out of a penthouse in Chinatown. I swear that's all I know!
If you're lying, I'll break the other one.
The other one? Ah!
Like, before I get, you know, what my favorite or my emotional episode or movie was, what I think, I don't know, maybe Ed or Zom would know. I think there was a time period in his life where he didn't want to play anymore. And I think that was before the Arkham games, if I'm not mistaken, though. But when he got cast to do the Arkham games, it just kind of had like this comeback for him.
Yeah.
And then everyone, even the newer generations, they may not know him from, you know, Batman, the animated series, but they'll know him from Arkham Asylum games.
Yeah, I think he also stipulated when he signed on to do them, because I know there was one of these things out of mutual respect between the voice acting cast. I heard it in an interview. I don't know if it was Tara or somebody else who was part of that whole world with them being the voice actors for the Batman characters. But I think Kevin had mentioned that he wouldn't be comfortable wanting to do that Batman if Hamill wasn't doing Joker. And then vice versa, Hamill said he wouldn't be comfortable doing Joker without Conroy doing Batman. Because I know as the other video games came along, I don't know if it was because of his health or his scheduling, but Conroy didn't get picked for all of them. There was different people playing it. I think Troy Baker played Joker and Batman on one of them, or I know he did Joker at least. And then the voice actor, it might have been Conroy. It might have been the last one he did, but it was a different person. But that was just based on mutual respect because how well they worked together. And they knew the fan base liked Hamill as Joker and Conroy as Batman. So out of mutual respect for one another, they stipulated that. And I think it only happened once where contractually Conroy had to finish doing the voice for a Batman and Hamill wasn't there. But they actually stepped aside and talked about it. And Hamill said, no, you're good. Knock this one out. You know, we're fine. I get it. You're under contractual obligation. You're not breaking a promise to me. It's like, it's all good. So I thought that was really cool because they kept.
Actually, for Arkham Origins, it was Troy Baker voicing the Joker. And there actually was a different actor playing Batman at the time.
They both did really well. I was surprised.
They both did well. Troy Baker did a great job mimicking a younger Mark Hamill. He did a great job. And I forget the actor's name who played Batman. But yeah, they didn't do that one. But of course, even Hamill saying, even for like the Batman the Killing Joke, is like, oh, I'll come back for that one. But at the same time, Kevin needs to be my Batman for that story.
So speaking of Killing Joke, like two movies that stick out to me that were really iconic that I love. One was the Killing Joke. I actually have a story, and Ed remembers because they had like a one night screening. So me, Ed, and another friend at the time, we all went to the movies to go watch that. You know, we went to get something to eat, had a few drinks, went to go see the movie. Loved it. My car battery died because I had left the lights on. Remember that?
Mr. Dumbass, I'm a go-getter. Dumbass material all the way.
Yeah. Random guy who was in the theater goes, oh, you need to jump. So luckily, yeah, I'd be pushing that thing home if that wasn't for that guy. So shouts out to him. Point being, back to the movie, was if anyone had read that comic series or that comic, The Killing Joke, it was the animated movie was spot on to the book. If anyone wants to check it out, please go ahead. But what really got to me was that ending where all the Joker wanted to do was make Batman laugh. And then you see it.
God damn it. Well, what are you waiting for? Kick the hell out of me and get your standing ovation. Come on!
No, not this time. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want either of us to end up killing the other. But we're running out of alternatives. Perhaps it all hinges on tonight. I don't know what it was that bent your life out of shape, but maybe I've been there too. Maybe we could work together. I could rehabilitate you. You don't need to be alone. We don't have to kill each other. Let me help you.
I'm sorry, but no. No. It's far too late for that. You know, it's funny. This reminds me of a joke. See, there were two guys locked in a lunatic asylum. And one night they decided they didn't like that anymore. They decided to escape. So they made it up to the roof, and there, just across this narrow gap, they see rooftops stretching across town, stretching to freedom. Now, the first guy, he jumps right across, no problem. But his friend, oh, no way. He's afraid of falling. So the first guy, he has an idea. He says, hey, I got this flashlight with me. I'll shine it across the gap between the buildings, and you can walk across the beam and join me. But the second guy says, what do you think I am, crazy? You just turn it off when I'm halfway across.
And yes, it is Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy, and they're laughing together. I don't know how you guys felt, but why did Batman's laugh sound a lot more creepier than the Joker? And then it just went silent. You know what I mean? But what? The laugh, Kevin Conroy made that laugh creepier, because you know Batman doesn't laugh. So just to hear him, it just threw my, you know, my hearing off.
Well, that's Kevin, again, from us always saying he understood the character and the story arc and what needs to be fed for that character to keep moving forward, that he is a darker figure. He is a little emotionally damaged. So he made sure, and I'm using a wrestling term here, which is fantastic. He made sure to keep kayfabe alive. And he's like, nope, I got to make sure they know I am jacked up and I should be more feared than the actual villain here. So that's why he made that Batman thing look creepy. I think you even see Joker kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think for me, the way you, whether you're reading the comic or watching the last few minutes of that film, it's more of a, it you kind of can see it as Joker winning, because
in a way,
to me,
yeah,
that sounds like Batman cracking, and there's nothing more dangerous than an unhinged Batman. Because obviously, if you go with what Alan Moore says on whether at that end, because obviously it pans away in the comic and in the animated film, you don't get to see it. But, you know, Batman's choking out Joker. It's like, yeah, you know what? I'm done. I am done with my rule. You're going to die right now.
So. Correct. And for us being geeks and nerds and fans of it, if you really think about it, that was like the last time they were both together. So that was like the most beautiful way to close out a chapter. That was like, there was both of their swan songs to the characters as a dynamic duo between the both of them.
Well, it was actually, I think it was maybe a year prior or 2 years prior to that film being released. Mark Hamill came out, said he's retiring as voicing the Joker. And someone had asked him, I don't know who, probably on Twitter or social media, would you ever come back? And the only reason he would ever come back is for two reasons. One, if Kevin Conroy voiced Batman, and two, if it was the Killing Joke. And look what happened.
Their last time working together. And again, I don't want to get choked up again, but as I'm thinking about it, now that Conroy has officially passed away, we're not going to get another iteration of Hamill's Joker. And I'm okay with that, because that's a beautiful thing to do for your coworker and your friend.
I don't know about that part.
There's an anime series called Justice League Action. And Kevin and Hamill are in that childish type cartoon. It's not a serious one, but both Hamill and I didn't even know this. I thought it was Troy Baker or someone, because I thought they were done. But no, I looked at the credits. It was like, oh, Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill, Justice League Action. It's not a good series, but they voice him in that.
Well, moving forward from that, this is going to be the last iteration we get. So at least, like TJ said, at least we got the Killing Joke. So, and TJ, please tell us the other movie.
Was the Flashpoint Paradox.
Oh my God, yes.
The comic was phenomenal. Of course, they, you know, changed a few things for the animation. I was okay with that. I know what the ending was, but watching the animated series and how Kevin Conroy said those last few words, I started crying. And if people don't know, the Flash screws up the timeline. You know, if anyone wants to watch it or read it, go ahead, check it out. But he comes back to the present time. gives Bruce a letter. Bruce opens the letter, reads it, starts crying. I think this came out when I was like maybe 32, 33. I'm not too sure. So being a full grown adult, watching someone that you grew up listening and watching to crying, you know, and the last words he said is, "You're a hell of a messenger."
There's still something I don't understand. I remember all of it. Not just what happened after I woke up there, but my whole other life. I remember every birthday cake my mother ever baked me, my room, everything. Perhaps some kind of temporal after effect?
Or perhaps it was a gift.
Yes, a gift.
This is my father's handwriting. You're one hell of a messenger. Thank you.
Oh my God, I just broke down, and it's just, it got me so emotional. Like, I had to rewind it.
Yeah.
Watching it. It hurt so good, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it made perfect sense. At that time, weren't you already a father?
Yeah, actually, you know what? It's funny, the birth of my first daughter, and you know, I'm not knocking it, but I didn't cry then. But for some reason, I cry for the weirdest stuff.
Well, it's the correlation, because you knew what that meant, being a father now.
You're right.
Yeah, I think what Kevin Conroy was able to tap into that stuff so well is, in his personal life, he actually had a very strange relationship with his father. He tells a great story. I can't remember too much detail. If you listen to Inside of You by Michael Rosenbaum, who voices the Flash in Justice League Unlimited, and he had Kevin on as a guest, he talked about his father, that even when his father was sick and at his deathbed, all Kevin can think was, thank God I'm not this man. Like, thank God I'd be a better man than my father. I think any time Kevin Conroy had to deliver something that had to do with Thomas Wayne, he knew how to tap home and really deliver those lines, even though they'd be quick, simple, and like any actor was able to deliver it within his dialogue. And him just, again, using a microphone is, man, talent.
Words have power, man.
I don't know if this would ever happen. It was just a fan theory or a fan film in my head. I don't think you would know, Zom, but Ed Wood, do you remember the series DC Metal?
Yes.
The comic series, yeah.
Okay, so obviously different versions of Batmans and different timelines and universes, but they're all evil. I would have loved to see a collaboration of Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill do the Batman Who Laughs.
Oh, that would have been incredible.
Oh, that's amazing.
Cooked my noodle as a nerd.
If they would have came back for a project like that, adapting DC Metal, and Kevin Conroy got the opportunity to be the villain and do like we mentioned earlier, his creepy Batman laugh, but what if he was able to turn that up to 10 and really go crazy? Yeah. And it was rated R?
Damn, TJ, look at you. Dude, you got my brain going now. God, that would have been phenomenal if they would have done something like that.
He's been done for a while. Like Zom said.
As like Bruce Wayne, and then slowly just switch it up as he's laughing. That would be a trip. That's another one-night film screaming in a movie theater.
Oh, guaranteed. Just because of how well they flow together, and they don't really need to be page by page. They would probably have gone more on just intuition and feeling with one another, being side by side. That's almost like how they did the double voicing or the overdubbing for certain Dragon Ball Z episodes when the two characters come together. That would have been a mind fuck in a amazing nerd way, just to see both of them do the dialogue. I mean, I would have lost my shit, honestly, because that, I can just envision in my head how incredible that would sound.
I mean, honestly, when Kevin Conroy started Batman and the Batman anime series, which came out like in September of 92, I don't think he thought anything of it. I thought he just thought it was like a quick payday, but it turned into this big legacy. Was reading in interviews and stuff like that, there wasn't a lot of job opportunities for him being an openly gay actor. And, you know, it's acceptable now, but back then, obviously, it wasn't. you know, like I said, maybe it was a means for him to like pay the bills, but it just turned into this epic career that is Batman.
Yeah, I'm glad you touched upon that too, TJ, because a lot of fans didn't know. He openly admitted that just recently, probably like a year or two or something like that. And a lot of the fan base had no idea that he was gay, because like you're saying, you had to keep it under wraps back then. It wasn't as socially acceptable and indoctrinated into society now as just being like, it's cool, you go with the flow. So that was really cool too. I was like, wow, I kind of had an inkling. I heard it, but until you got it from the source's mouth, from Conroy himself saying that, I was like, wow, okay, cool. Didn't change my opinion of him. Still, the man is beloved.
It did not, because how he felt, his sexual preference or whatever, that's his business.
Yeah. He's still Batman.
He's still fucking.
That's all that matters. He is Batman.
Very well said, Ed. Very true. Now, for those of you guys who don't know, again, we're doing this episode to pay tribute to the late, great Kevin Conroy. We just lost him. I think TJ even said prior to us recording the episode that he unfortunately passed from a long battle with cancer, primarily an intestinal cancer. And that just sounds like it would be very uncomfortable and incredibly excruciating. And to know that he forewent all that and still went out there and went to as many cons as possible to meet his fans and just to put his suffering aside for the greater good of making sure he put good karma and good energy out there to say thank you to his fan base, just like the great, and his movie just came up recently. I know we're going to talk about it on an episode. Chadwick Boseman, who was battling cancer as well, giving it his all for Black Panther and the other movies he did before he unfortunately passed. That's just, again, a testament to the man, making sure that there was nothing he could do to ever completely say thank you for the fans giving him that quality of life, for him giving them the body of work behind Batman. And that just says so much about Conroy, of him being a beautiful individual, beautiful soul, and someone that can't be replicated in our kingdom of geeks and comics.
All right, gentlemen. So I think this episode is coming to a close. Any final thoughts, prayers, wishes, memories?
Just for me personally, like, I'm never going to forget that night. I had the fact that he was gracious enough to do what he did. I got those couple minutes with him. He signed the photo for me.
I'm actually jealous of you. Like, man, yeah.
It's a great story.
Yeah. I mean, thanks. I even when Adam Musk passed away, there's pictures of me up on Instagram, and some of them went not viral, but they got notarized because I was in Bane and I went down to City Hall in LA when they had the bat symbol up there to pay my respects to Adam West as well. But and I'm on the spot and I still have a little bit of my choppiness in my voice because I'm still emotional talking about Conroy. I will do it the best I can. It's unfortunate to know that you've passed, Mr. Wayne, but you were and always shall be my greatest adversary. Bane loves you, Mr. Conroy. Thank you.
Well said. Well said.
For me, it's just to thank you. Being a 90s kid, that he was my first voice of Batman. So, and he would always be my Batman forever. When I pick up current Batman comics again, I will hear your voice, sir. I will make sure your shows still get continued to watch. So people keep recommending them. The animated series, New Adventures, Batman Beyond. Even the episodes you did in Static Shock. And of course, Justice League Unlimited, the Arkham games. Just fans out there, just keep recommending those. You know, don't let his voice be unheard, or even his personal life. Share it. That man is Batman. Forever will be Batman.
That voice, the voice of Batman, as portrayed by Kevin Conroy, and of course Bruce Wayne, he does Bruce Wayne as well, became the voice very quickly, within a year, that I heard whenever I read a comic book. I know him first as a fan of the man's work. And then thanks to the shit that I do for a living, I wind up gravitating toward people I admire. You know, we kind of work in the same field and stuff. And I'd known Kevin for a few years. I'd met him at cons and stuff like that. I knew he was a big theater kid, Broadway guy. I remember the first time I saw him, I was like, that's Batman? Like, that voice comes out of that guy and shit? Steady stability, voice of justice and comfort, you know, because he could easily dial it up to be like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you for stealing that purse. Or, you know, I've got you. It's okay. The voice of comfort in the worst moment of all time of your life. So I asked him very pathetically. I was like, can you tell me that I'm doing okay? as Batman, and he fucking took it so seriously, and he put on the Batman voice and was literally said everything I've needed to hear, particularly at that moment in time. But what people didn't know is I clipped that off, and it was on my next three phones. And whenever I was, like, at my lowest, I would fucking dig it up, and Batman would be like, you're doing the right thing, Kevin. And I was like, yes, aren't I? Here's a magic fucking man. He's done many things, but he'll forever be known as this guy. And everyone went nuts and shit. And he was just like, I am the knight. It was really, really sweet. Then like 2 weeks, fuck. I was just having a text conversation with him 2 weeks ago. And we're going to watch like the fucking episodes of Batman that made me cry. And we're going to talk about them. And one of them is like the Justice League episode where, you know, Ace of the Royal Flush Gang dies. That always circulates on Twitter. It's fucking insanely moving. And I didn't hear from him, and then he texted me out of the blue, and he was like, did you get my emails? And I hadn't, because I never checked email. And he's like, I've been a little under the weather, but I would love to come to the theater and do that. Let's aim for the beginning of 2023. And I was like, okay, Batman. And then fucking the people I work with at Masters of the Universe texted me early the other morning, and they were just like, Kevin's gone. I fucking ran to my emails to read what he had written. Sucks losing anybody that's exceptional at their job. The man was exceptional at what he did. Sucks when you lose the ones that are like beautiful human beings. That guy was such a good guy, man. Really good guy. So yeah, I'll miss him forever. I was lucky to have known him at all. And more importantly, I was lucky to have had him as my Batman in my lifetime. I'll hear his voice from now until the end of time. He did his job so fucking good that even when Kevin's gone, he'll always be in my head whenever I read fucking Batman.
Legacy, man. I will continue on my end to show the legacy of Kevin Conroy through my kids. And hopefully, if they ever have kids, legends live forever. We just got to keep continuing, keep reading those comics. Because, yeah, I will still have the Kevin Conroy Batman in my voice every time I pick up a damn Batman comic.
I couldn't have said that any better myself. To our fans listening, hey, man, we appreciate you guys every time you jump on here and listen to an episode. This will be it for the Kevin Conroy Tribute episode. The man was beloved. He will always be our Batman. He will forever always be our Dark Knight. Good night, Bruce Wayne. Good night, Batman. God bless, and we love you, Kevin Conroy. Goodbye, sir. Rest well.
It's done. Gotham is safe.
Thank you, Bruce. For everything.
Goodbye, Jim.
Am I blue? Am I blue? Ain't these tears in my eyes telling you? Am I blue? You'd be too if each plan that you had done fell through. There was a time I was your only one, but now I'm the sad and lonely one.
Beautiful. Never underestimate how much I appreciate each and every one of you and what you give me back for my performances. It means the world to me. Take care.